Turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We're going to continue our study there. And while you're turning there, appreciate your prayers for my wife and I. We're traveling to South Carolina tomorrow. I think we leave Wichita at 6:40, something like that. And so the next couple of weeks, next week, Pastor Martins is going to be sharing the word in the morning, and in the evening, I think it's John. Is that right, John? And then, that's right. And then the next Sunday, it'll be Pastor Post, and Tracy will be sharing in the evening. So I encourage you to come and hear the gentlemen as they share the word and challenge you in the things of God. And as you think about praying for us, my wife has been having trouble with her back, so pray for that, her back and walking around and those kind of things. So appreciate your prayers in regard to that. So where's Paul? Paul told me this morning that he was going to sit in the second row the last time he was here for church, but Pastor Post was already there, and I guess you don't like sitting beside Pastor Post? Is that what the... He's okay. So I just wanted to share that because people are thinking about moving closer to the front, you know, so I just wanted to share that with you.
I'll move up here.
Yeah, there we go. Hear that? He's going to move up to the front row so you can sit in the second row for next week. I won't be here, but, next week it'll be set to go. Let's pray together. Our glorious Heavenly Father, we come to you with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts today because of you being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Creator of everything, made a way for us to be able to come together this morning to sing songs about standing on your promises and being able to be in the presence of the living God for eternity. And Lord, we're going to sing one about trusting you in just a little while. And we just thank you, God, that we can lift up our hearts and music and song and give praise and adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we certainly love you and praise you, God, for all that you have done for us and provided for us. And thank you, God, that Pat and Merwin are with us this morning. Thank you, God, for the strengthening that you're giving to them and their lives. And pray that you just continue to help them, challenge them, and encourage them, Lord, as only you can. And thank you, Father, for giving us a book that is filled with truth about all ages and the future that is coming, and that we can open it up and we can look at it and know that they are your divine commandments and promises and directives for our lives, and we can put our trust in that book and know how to have a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just quiet our hearts now as we think about the things related to you, and that you would just challenge us in our walk with you, God, and that tomorrow we could be a better Christian than we are today because of you speaking to us and us making changes in our hearts and lives that only you can do. Thank you, God, again for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, that we can you've supplied our needs, and thank you that we can give up an offering to be used for your honor and your glory here on this earth, and to spread your kingdom. And God, you're just a wonderful God, and we love you and praise you and thank you, God, for all the things that you do. And we just ask that you would speak to us now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Back a number of years ago, whenever the TomToms and the Garmins first came out, and they had electronic ways to get directions to go different places, I purchased one because I'm sort of a techno kind of guy, and we were doing a lot of traveling, and so we purchased one of these things. And I was telling this older fella in our church about this device that I bought, and you know how it gives you directions to go places, you know, turn here, turn there, all this kind of stuff. And he said, "Well, I got to get myself one of those." And so he bought one, and he was going to go from Connecticut down to the southern part of Virginia. And so he said, Pastor, he said, I want you to help me to program this Garmin thing, he said, that I got. I want you to help me to program this. And he said, I don't want to go through New York City, because the problem with having one of those things in the state of Connecticut or all of New England, if you're going someplace south, you know, Jersey, Florida, any place like that, it takes you on Interstate 95 right through New York City. And nobody wants to do that. Got to go across the George Washington Bridge. I mean, it's just a mess. And so he said, I just don't want to go across that George Washington Bridge. I don't want to go through New York City. I want to go around it. I said, okay. I said, that's simple enough. So it was time for him to leave on the trip. And he's ready to go, and he's ready to program his thing in there. And I said, now, here's my advice. And if you don't do this, you're going to get in trouble. I said, do not turn this thing on until you get to Scranton, Pennsylvania. Okay, Scranton, Pennsylvania is west of where we live. And when you get to Scranton, you turn the thing on, and it'll take you south. You're already past New York City. No problems at all. He said, okay, I got it. I said, now listen to me. I said, do not turn this thing on until you get to Scranton. And you know how guys are. They like to turn things on, and they like to do stuff like this. Well, anyhow, he leaves on his trip. And about, a week or 2 weeks later, whenever he came back to church, I saw his wife in the hallway. And I said to her, how did the trip go? My husband wasn't very happy with you when we were going across the George Washington Bridge. He wasn't excited about that at all. And he didn't have some very nice things to say about you. And so he came in then, and I said, I heard you went across the George Washington Bridge. He said, yeah, and I wasn't very happy about it either. I said, now listen, what was the last thing I said to you before you left? I said, do not turn this thing on. I said, where did you turn it on? Oh, he said, whenever I left the house, I turned it on because I wanted to do it. And so the reason I tell you that GPS story is this, is that, you know, all of us have those things on our phones now, and we turn those on, and that's what we use to, you know, to get directions and find people. But whenever you get to the place that you set as your location you're looking for, the place you're going to go, whenever you get there, the thing comes on and says what? You've arrived, right? You have arrived. You're there. You know, this is the place that you've been, you set up and you're going to go to. And so you have arrived. And what I'd like to point out this morning is the fact that we don't arrive at maturity in our Christian life like that. It's not all of a sudden, bang, you have arrived, or you make a turn here, a turn here, a turn the other way, and you find out that you have arrived. It doesn't work that way. And so this morning we're going to talk about how Apostle Paul realized that he had not arrived, and what he was going to do about the fact that he didn't or has not arrived at the place of spiritual maturity, at his the place of perfection that he would like to be. What did he do? So he hadn't arrived, and what did he do to get to the place where God wanted him to be? So that's what we're going to look at this morning in Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to just read several verses here. We're going to look this morning at verses 12 through 16. So let's just start reading at verse 10, and we'll read 10 through 16. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may also but I may apprehend that for which I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. For I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many of us be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, as to that which we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So if you remember from last week, what we talked about last week, we talked about the fact that, in my opinion, that the last week and this week are sort of the climax of the Paul's teaching of the book of Philippians. He sort of gets to the, you know, this is the important stuff. This is the thing that you want to implement in your life. And so Paul said what? He said that I want to know him. I want to understand. I want to understand God. I want to have that relationship where I know him more and more and more and more. And he said not just to know him intellectually, but he says in verse 10, he says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Yeah, I said, I want to know that resurrection power in my life so that I can, live that out in my day-to-day life. And as I walk with God and as I serve the people that are around me, he said, I want to also, have fellowship of his suffering. He says, we learned that, Jesus, developed obedience through his suffering, and the sufferings that we go through draw us closer to God. And so he said, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. And then he said this, I want to be conformed to his death. The idea that, positionally we are dead in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he said, I want to live out that dead life. It makes no sense to say that, but I want to live out the fact that I am dead, positionally dead in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to, that's what I want to do. That's the passion of my heart. And so that's what we talked about last week. Verse 11 says, if by any mean I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. And so we talked about the resurrection of the dead being a level of spirituality that God is calling us to, not just, I know God and I'm walking with God, but we understand the power of the resurrection. We understand the fellowship of his sufferings. We are part of being conformed to the things of his death. And so notice what he says now in the next verse, verse number 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Okay? So Paul says, I know that I have not arrived. Now, I don't know about you, but when I compare my life to the life of the Apostle Paul, I say, man, I'm just really a spiritual wimp, I'm not out getting beat, and I'm not out starting churches, and I'm not out, leading all these people to Christ, and all of those things. And I always hold Paul, the Apostle Paul, up here, saying, here's a guy who's a really strong Christian, a strong believer, somebody that God used in a powerful way. And here's the Apostle Paul saying what? He says, I have not yet arrived. I haven't gotten to this place yet. So I say to myself, wow, if Paul hasn't arrived, I got a long way to go. If Paul hasn't arrived, there's lots of things that I need to do to get to the place where I have arrived. And so Paul says, I know that I have not arrived. Now, think about this for a second. When the Apostle Paul says, I have not arrived, what do you think it is that God wants us to attain to? Turn over, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. And chapter 4, and Ephesians chapter 4 gives us a little glimpse of, what this resurrection life is. Gives us a little glimpse of, what God is calling us to do and how God is calling us to act, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, and let's start reading at verse number 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the unifying of the body of Christ. Okay, now notice what he says. Till we all come to a unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Okay, again, the idea there is a mature man. Okay, a man or woman, it's just, he's speaking in a gender-neutral kind of way here. He says, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? Now again, you stop and think about that. Have I made it to the place where I am, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ? And we'd probably all say what? No, I got a ways to go. No, I need to, I need to move forward. No, I need to, to make some challenges and need to make some changes in my life. And so then verse 14 says that we henceforth no more walk as children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. We're not thrown off by false doctrine and those kind of things, that we have a maturity level, we have a theology level, that we're not tossed around. We have some foundation that we stand on. And so here's the Apostle Paul. He's doing what? He's saying, I haven't arrived. I haven't made it to that that resurrection life level as of yet. I still have a way to go. Now, let's go back to Philippians, if you would, please. And back in Philippians, you have to ask yourself the question, well, how did Paul know that he hasn't attained yet? How did Paul know that he hasn't arrived to this level yet? How did he do that? And I think the way that he does that, or the way that he did that, is he does some introspection. He just stop and look and see, what's going on? Do you ever take some time to do that? To just stop and look at yourself and say, how am I doing spiritually? How would I compare how I'm doing spiritually to last year or the year before or 10 years ago? Is God changing me? Is God molding me? Is God challenging me in these different ways? And I thought, several questions that I think are good to ask us ourselves whenever we're doing this introspection kind of thing is, the first one is, what am I working on adding to my life? What is it in my life that I'm seeking to, diligently add to my life? Am I adding to my prayer life? Am I adding to my, skills in being able to encourage people? Am I adding to my life, sympathy towards people and seeking to be more merciful? Am I adding to my life, what kind of things am I seeking to add? And sometimes we stop and say, I'm really not working on adding anything. So if we're not working on adding anything to our life, then we're basically saying, I'm just sort of holding it neutral. The other question, second question we might want to ask ourselves is, what am I working on removing from my life? What is there in my life? What kind of bad habits do I have? What kind of bad actions do I have? What kind of responses do I have that are not right? What kind of things do I need to get rid of in my life? And, if you really want to have a good answer to what you need to get rid of, ask your husband or wife. If they're honest, they'll tell you, you need to change this or you need to change that. And if you really want to have fun, ask the kids. Say, to be a better parent, what could I remove to be a better parent? And they'll probably give you a list about yay long, and you'll be busy on that for the next 15 years, that kind of thing. But there are things in our life that we need to add, good, positive kind of things. And there are things in our life that we need to remove. And, and when we're growing and developing and seeking to attain this, this resurrection life and see where we need to be in our walk with God, there are things we need to add, things we need to subtract from our life. And then, the last question that we might want to ask ourselves is, what do I need to change that I can be more like the Lord Jesus Christ? What do I need to change so that I can be more like Jesus? Because that's really, and we'll see this in a couple of moments, that's really where we want to be. We want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's the Apostle Paul. He says, this is what I realize that I have not arrived. And he says, I'm not satisfied in where I am now. And I think that's one of the problems that you and I, and I certainly include myself in this, one of the problems that you and I have is that we become satisfied with where we are in our relationship with God. We have memorized, so many passages of scripture. We have read through the Bible so many times. We have, done this, this list of kind of things. But you know, what is it that I need to be changed, be changing, because I'm not really satisfied, because I haven't attained to this level where, you know, God wants me to live and work and act and be, you know. So what is it I need to change? Because if we're going to be different, then we have to change in what's going on in our life. And so Paul, he said, I haven't arrived. He said, but this is, I recognize that I need to make some changes. So notice what he says in verse number 12. He says, not as though I had already attained or either were already perfect. He said, but this is what I do. He says, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Now there's a lot of apprehendeds in that word, in that verse there, right? And two different apprehends there. One, Paul is talking about him apprehending, and he is also talking about Christ apprehending, okay? So let's talk about the second one first, okay? I don't know if you ever stop and realize this, but what he's talking about here, or what he's relaying to us here, is that the Lord Jesus Christ caught us, or saved us, or apprehended us, or grasp us, you know, whatever word that you want to use there, that, you know, that God did that. You know, God, the Spirit of God worked in our life and showed us that we needed a Savior and brought the gospel into our life so that we could be saved. And so God has gone through a lot of things to bring us to the place where we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, now we have been bought with a price, so therefore we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We now belong to him. Okay. And so what did he apprehend us for? What did he catch us for? You know, what was the purpose? You know, I always had a theory. I don't know if this is true or not. You ladies could probably tell me at some point in time, is that all ladies, whenever they're looking for a guy, they're looking for this guy and they catch him, and then they want to make him into what they want for a husband. I said to my wife, I said, you know, whenever I die, I said, I want you to get married again. And you know what she said? She said, I'm not going to do that. She said, I spent so many years training you. I can't go through all of that all over again, okay? Because she apprehended me. You know, I thought I was chasing her, but it was just the other way around, right? That's the way it goes. And I thought, so she apprehended me, and she's, you know, forming me into the person that she wants me to be, the husband that she wants to have, right? Okay. Now, you can disagree with me if you want to, and that's just a theory. That's not biblical. Okay. But the truth here in the passage is that Jesus Christ apprehended us so that he could make us into what he wants us to be. Now, what is that? I'm glad you asked, because I have a couple of ideas here in regard to that. Let's turn over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you remember, the first part says, you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. We're not going to read through the whole passage, but I want to get down to... let's start reading at verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love which he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Notice what he says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ, okay? So one of the reasons that he saved us was to show the exceeding greatness of his kindness, to show the exceeding greatness of his mercy, to show the exceeding greatness of what he has done in each one of our hearts and in our lives, okay? So he saved us. He attained us so that we could be his, you know, his showpieces, he's going to talk about as you go down through the passage of Scripture. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Peter. If you would, 2 Peter chapter 2, and again here talking about what the Lord Jesus has saved us. 1 Peter chapter 2, excuse me. 1 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Notice what he says. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a people of his own, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay? Here's what he's saying. He has saved you. He's made you a royal priesthood, a special nation, so he can show the greatness of his salvation, so that we can spend time giving praise. He said that we can show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he's attained us so that he can show off what a great salvation that he has provided for us, and the blessings that go along with this wonderful salvation. So he's attained us for that person. One other idea, one other thought in regard to that. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We always look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, so we'll go ahead and read it just to give you some background to that. But Romans 8:28, but what I want to get to is Romans 8:29. In verse 8:28, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, so what's he saved us so that we can be conformed to the image of his son, so that we can be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we can show forth the greatness of his salvation, so that we can give praises to him and worship him for all the things he has done. But he wants to conform us. He wants to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. So he has saved us for those purposes. So when we go back to Philippians again, go back there if you would, please. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, if I can apprehend, if I can grasp the thing that God has grasped me for. Okay? God has grasped me to be in the image of Christ, to show forth his praises and his greatness and many other things. But he says, you know, that's what I want to do. He said, I want to attain to that. This thing I'm apprehended for, I want to apprehend it. I want to grasp that. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be a shallow kind of a Christian that just sort of goes by the seat of their pants and never puts any effort or time or diligence into it. He said, I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be like him. I want people to look at me and say, well, that's the way Jesus would be. That's the things that Jesus would do. And so Paul says, if by any means, he said, I know that I have not attained. I haven't made it there yet. But he said, I follow after. My desire is to go there. Now, how is Paul going to get there? How is Paul going to live that resurrection life? How is Paul going to know the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering? How is he going to do that? Well, again, I'm glad you ask. I knew that you're sitting there waiting to ask that question. I'm glad you ask. Because notice what he says in the next verse. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't grasped that as of yet. He says, but with this one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Okay? So this one thing is really two things, right? He says, forgetting the things in the past, reaching forth unto the things in the future. Now let's talk about forgetting the past. Okay, the past many times has a big impact on our lives. And so we usually look at the past in two different ways. We look back at the past and say, what a wreck I have made out of my life. My life is just, I have committed this sin and I have that done that thing wrong and all of those kinds of things. And we look back and we say, God could never use me. I have committed too many sins. I have acted this way. And we look at the past and say, just because of all these things, there's no way that God can use me. There's no way that I can be, everything that God wants me to be because of my past. My past is holding me back. Which is not true, right? When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, all of our sins are forgiven. Whenever we commit a sin after we get saved, we come to God and we confess that sin. He says he cleanses us from that sin. So never are any of our sins holding us back in our relationship with God and our service for God. Now, there are certainly consequences for some of the sins that we commit, right? We all recognize that. If you were, breaking into somebody's house and you stuck your hand through the glass window and you cut your finger off, you're not going to grow that finger back again, right? That's the consequences for the wrong that you have done. But God doesn't stand there for the rest of eternity looking at that finger and say, boy, that was a dumb thing to do. You are a sinner, and I'm not going to forgive you for that. No, he forgives us for that, but we still have the consequences of those kind of things. And so the Apostle Paul, and again, you stop and think about the Apostle Paul and what kind of a sinner was the Apostle Paul. He was a good one or a bad one, depending on which way you want to look at it, right? He was a sinner, right? You know, he was going out, trying to destroy the church and the work of Jesus Christ and all of those kind of things. And so Paul says, this is what I do. He said, I forget those things that are in the past. Okay, so we look at the past as either being bad, or the other way we look at the past is we look at the past as being good. Ah, the good old days. Man, I remember when I used to, to go on visitation, and I remember whenever I used to, to share the gospel with people, and I remember when the church was packed, and I remember, all of the things the way they were in the past, and we called them the good old days. And let's be honest, the good old days weren't always the good old days, right? But we look at it and we say, things are never going to be like that. And so therefore, I'm going to, Paul says, no. He says, you forget the things, just put those aside. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that you don't praise the Lord for the good things that happened. Praise the Lord for the salvations you had. Praise the Lord for the forgiveness that you had. All of those kinds of things. You give praise and thanks to God for those things. And you recognize, how God has brought you through certain things and build your faith and your strength for those kind of things. But Paul says, I'm not living in the past, whether the past was good or whether the past was bad. He says, I forget those things which happened in the past. Because we don't live in the past. Where do we live? We live right here, right now. What's going on today? This is all we have, friends. We don't have yesterday, and we don't have tomorrow. We have right now. And that's all you're ever going to have, right now. That's what life is, living in the right now. And so the Apostle Paul says, I forget those things which are behind. And he says, I reach forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this word press here is interesting in the fact that if you go back to verse 12, he says, I follow after. The word follow and the word press are the same words, okay? But the idea is, sort of an intensified use of it in verse number 14, okay? Now, think about this for a second. When we're talking about pressing, when we're talking about following, it's the idea of moving forward. It's the idea of doing something. It's the idea of changing. Do you ever think about, following somebody? Whenever you follow somebody, you don't choose where you're going, do you? When you follow them, you go the direction they go. We went one night. We went to a town about an hour away. There was some kind of a college that was Christian college that was putting on this concert, and I'd never been in this town before. And this is back before TomToms and GPS and all that kind of stuff. And we had two 15 passenger vans that are both filled up with adults and kids, and we're off to this this thing. And so we get to this town, and I saw the thing over that way, so I made a turn onto this road. It was a one-way street, but the only problem was I was going the wrong way on the one-way street. And guess who was right behind me? The second 15-passenger van. We're both going the wrong way on a one-way street, okay? Now, the person who was driving that said, He said, I saw it was a one-way street and you're going down that, but I was afraid if I lost you, I would be lost for sure. I'd never know my way out. And I thought to myself, well, that was pretty dumb. If I didn't even know how to go down a one-way street and you're following me, you know, just, you ought to think about that one a little bit. But anyhow, we made it to the conference, but the guy who was following me, he did what? He just followed along. He didn't choose his own path. He went the way the person who was leading. And so that's what he's saying here. He says, I'm following. I'm pressing. I'm pressing for what? He says, I'm pressed towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing. I'm following after what God wants to happen in my life, what God wants to do. He wants to give me that prize of the high calling. And I believe, again, when he's talking about this high calling here, it goes back to back to verse number 10. He says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. That's the idea of this, you know, this high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ that has put upon our life. The high calling is not, some kind of a title. The high calling is not some kind of a promotion in your job. The high calling is not being some kind of a leader in the government. The high calling is that God has called us to be his disciples. He has called us to be his servants. He has called us to be his workers here on this earth. He has called us to be, you know, his hands to be used in the world that we live in. We are his mouth. We are the light of the world. You know, that's the calling that God has put upon you and I as God's children. That he wants us to, you know, to fill that high calling. And Paul says, you know, I haven't attained already, but he says, I'm pressing after him. I'm following after Christ, and I want to get to that place where that prize is what I'm seeking, that prize that of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, this is what Christ has called me to be. This is what Christ has called me to do to fill this calling. And so what am I doing? I'm following after. I'm pressing. You know, I'm exerting energy. I'm suffering. I'm going through persecution. I am struggling. I am learning. I am dealing with things. I'm growing in my faith. All of those kinds of things that, you know, you and I as believers in Christ, we go through the same kind of things. Maybe not to the extent the Apostle Paul did, but we go through the same kind of things because our faith grows and matures and develops as we go through difficult times, not easy times. We grow and mature and develop when we have struggles and trials that God allows us to go through and helps us through each and every day. Now, notice what he says here. Then he goes on and talks to the church and to the other people that are believers. Verse number 15. He says, "Let us," talking about, you know, the church at Philippi and the people that are with him, "let us therefore, as many as be perfect," okay? As many of us as mature, okay? And again, that's again what we were looking for, maturity in Christ. He says, "Let as many of us as be mature be thus minded," okay? A mature person has this kind of mind in them that they want to live that resurrection life, that they want to live up to that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that, you know, going to heaven is not enough for them. They want more than that. They want to be effective as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to have an impact in the world that they're living in today. Because you realize that that's who God left behind, right? Us. For better, for worse, he's left us behind. And he has left us behind to be that one, to have an impact in the world. And so here's the Apostle Paul says. He says, let us, as many of us as are perfect, be thus minded, have this same kind of mind. And he says, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you don't have this mindset of following after the Lord Jesus Christ to grow and mature and have this resurrection life kind of thing, he says, I'm asking God to reveal this to you so you can do what? So you can change. So you can have the right mindset as opposed to the wrong mindset. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, that Paul doesn't say, you know, if you don't have this mindset, I'm going to come down there, I'm just going to slap you silly until you get this the right mindset. He doesn't say that at all. What did he say? He says that God can reveal this unto you. God can show you the faulty thinking that you have. And I think that's where we go back to that introspection that we talked about in the beginning. That we just take some time and we talk to God about, you know, how we're developing, how we're maturing in our walk with God, and how we're getting more like Him, or how we're slacking away and we need to make some changes. But you know, but God is working in our hearts and God is working in our lives. And so He says this. He says, "Let us be this minded, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything, God shall reveal this unto you." Verse 16. "Nevertheless, as to that which we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." He says, those of us who have, you know, have attained, again, back talking about, you know, the people who have maturity in their life. He says, let us walk by that same rule. You know, don't come to the place where you think that you have arrived as a Christian. You pat yourself on the back and say, "Woo, man, look how good I am now." You have that same rule. I'm pressing. I'm moving forward. I'm seeking to mature. I want to be a better Christian today than I was yesterday or the day before or the day before or the day before, because I want to see God changing my life. I want to see that power of the resurrection. I want to see the be conformed to His death. I want to have the fellowship of His suffering. I want to see God working in me and through me. I want to see somebody's life changed because I have sought to walk with God. And God is, you know, if I don't know how another way to say it, but that God is just oozing out of me, and people can see that, because that's what God has called me to. That's what God wants me to do. Don't put them off. Press towards the mark. Now, I just want to throw out, in conclusion, I just want to throw out a couple of ideas about pressing towards the mark. How do you do that? How do you press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Well, you recognize where you want to go, but how do you get there? A couple things I thought about. First one is, pray through these things and ask God to reveal to you what you need to add or subtract to your life. God, have I mastered this? Have I apprehended? Am I at a spiritual level where I don't need to grow anymore? Okay, start there. And the obvious answer to that question is what? Oh no, you haven't arrived yet, right? But talk to God about it. Say, God, what is it in my life that I need to add or I need to subtract? I'm opening myself up and point it out to me. Make it clear. And as I always say, that the quickest answers to prayers that I have is whenever I pray and ask God, have I sinned, God? Is there something I need to confess to you? And I get answers to that like that. But this, I think, is the same kind of an idea, that when we're asking God, God, point out to me things I need to change, things I need to add, things I need to subtract, how I need to change in my Christian life so I can reach this level of resurrection life that you want me to live. That would be the place to start. Number two is the idea of look into the Word of God and see Jesus and Peter and Paul and the men specifically of the New Testament, and see how they acted and see how they handled different things. You know, read through it down through the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when the Apostle Paul goes down through that whole list of things and sufferings and difficulties that he went through. And then compare that to your life and say, you know, what's going on here? You know, how does my life compare to this? Do I have those kind of things, or is God molding and making me in those kind of things? But compare your life to those people and see how Peter acted in situations and how Paul acted in situations. And you know, look at the one where Paul went and confronted Peter about his actions and how did he go about that, and what kind of results came from that, and how did Peter respond when somebody made accusations to him? You know, those kinds of things. And then begin to compare that to your life and say, well, how do I respond in those kind of situations? What goes on in my life and those kinds of things? And then once God shows you some things that you need to add or subtract, God shows you some things that you need to change, put them into practice. Put it into practice. You know, it's one thing to have it up here. It's another thing to have it here and here where you're living it out in your day-to-day life. You know, it's one thing to learn how to share the gospel, but it's another thing to share the gospel with somebody. They're two different things because we need to take the knowledge that we get and we need to put that into practice in the world around us so that they can see that we are the light of the world. And so my prayer for you this morning is that you'll take some time and do some introspection. Say, God, what is it that I need to change in my life? What do I need to add? What do I need to get rid of? So that I'm not looking at the past, but I'm pressing on. I want to be more for the Lord Jesus Christ than I am right now. And you know, God will answer those prayers. God will show you what he wants you to do. And I don't think he's going to start out with, you know, conquering a mountain. He's probably going to start out with conquering a little molehill in your life and see those changes as you grow and develop and mature in him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and nobody's looking around. And maybe you're here this morning and you know that you need to make some changes in your life, and you just like me to pray for you. I'd love to. You just want to slip up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I got some things I need to change. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Got some things I need to change so I can press on and be all that Christ wants me to be. Anyone else? Okay. Our wonderful God, we love you with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our minds. We thank you, Father, that you love us in an even greater way than that, that you sent the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. And God, in response to that wonderful love, we want to give our hearts and our lives, our time, our talents, our treasures, all that we have to you, dear God. And we want to live that resurrection life. And Father, a number of folks lifted up their hands to signify that they need to make some changes in their life. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help them to do that. Help us to realize, Father, that we need to take some time from moment to moment and look about what's going on in our hearts and what's going on in our lives and what we need to remove, what we need to add. And God, just give us wisdom in those things. Help us to see what's really important to you, dear God, and how you want to use us. And Lord, for those who lift up their hands, be with them, Lord. Help them to change in the way that you want them to change. Make it very clear to them, Lord, what you have in mind. And we give you praise and give you thanks for what you're going to do in the future, because we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.